Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the prophet Isaiah, it stands written, I am sending my herald ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, clear a straight path for him. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism in token of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and everyone flocked to him from the countryside of Judea and the city of Jerusalem. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John was dressed in a rough coat of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he fed on locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, after me comes one mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop and unfasten. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you're aware in the four Gospels that only Luke and Matthew have birth stories. John, the Gospel of John, begins with the prologue, in the beginning was the Word. But Mark is the oldest Gospel, the first they think written. And he begins in such an interesting way. And this is the year of Mark. Last week we began year B in the lectionary year, the year of Mark. No angels, no shepherds, no magi, no children, no animals. Rather, it is John the Baptizer. He is one of the oldest Christmas figures, though I'm certain we really don't think of him too much that way. But at the beginning of Mark's gospel is John the Baptist's prophetic voice, the preacher of legend, the one who came to clear a path for the anointed one of God. And John, I think, seems probably more appropriate for Lent than Advent, and he does show up again then too. Because John kind of intrudes on the whole Christmas cheer idea. I mean, if you were going to decorate your house and bake some cookies and put up twinkling lights everywhere, get the kids all excited and gathered round for John to show up half-dressed in some camel hair with some strange food, telling everybody that they needed to repent, it does change the Christmas story just a titch. But we need John. We always need John because he reminds us that Jesus comes to save us from the world's sins, the same sins we have today, and to offer us forgiveness. And I think I like when somebody offers me forgiveness. But it is not exactly the ho-ho-ho kind of gift, a call from the wilderness, that reminds us that the road through the mall leads to Bethlehem. That the star and the shepherds and the manger on that holy night with that little baby runs right through the cleansing waters of the Jordan River. Interestingly, John does his preaching out in the wilderness, it says, away from everyone. He is away from the mainstream life in Jerusalem. People always came to him, the scriptures said, which makes me wonder a little bit about Jesus and his relation with John. The image in Mark is told as the beginning of the good news, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. John declares to all who are following him, there is another one who will come. And then we see Jesus in the scripture walk down to the Jordan, be baptized by John, and voila, that's it. He's a Messiah, right? He's going to go out now and be in ministry. The ministry of Jesus of Nazareth begins. And when I read that, it feels like all those products that say, just add water, and then they puff up. and they're instantaneously the thing they're supposed to be. I won't tell you some of the things that I've gotten as gag gifts that puff up, but it's pretty scary. But the image is a little unsatisfying to me because I think even a chia pet takes a few days to grow now, doesn't it? I mean, if you add the water to it. Which brings me to the question, what came before? What happened in Jesus' life that compelled him to walk down to that river? Now, some would argue that the moment Jesus was born and could have cognitive thought, he knew he was the Messiah. And that he knew his mission, that he came fully constituted and ready to go. Others, and I'm in this camp, I will admit, believe that Jesus was a devout Jew, that he knew the Jewish holidays, that he said the Shema in the morning and in the evening, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And that at some point in his life, he became a religious seeker. We're doing a study of Marcus Borg's book right now, Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time. And if you haven't ever read it, it is a must read for anybody who really wants to find a helpful contemporary voice for struggling with who Jesus is for us today. And Marcus says that around his late 20s, Jesus left Nazareth and became a follower of the wilderness prophet named John. And this is true. Many scholars say that that was not a moment that just happened. That Jesus left his conventional life behind and went out into the wilderness and became an actual follower of the prophet John. We don't often think of Jesus as having a mentor, do we? We think of Jesus walking down to that river that day, a man who knew what his purpose was, to show the world, to have a moment. But it seems to me that there might have been many, many, many times that Jesus sat there with the others and listened to the preaching of John. That there was someone who changed his life. We don't know if Jesus gradually came to understand God's will for him or had a conversion religious experience where he suddenly had his eyes opened. But the trouble with the scriptures too often is when we dig into these stories is they feel one-dimensional, don't they? Jesus walked down to the river, was baptized in the Jordan, started his ministry. But there's a whole story we don't know and may never know. But when the oral traditions were written down, I wonder if there were other things that were left out and lost. If we are to understand the life of Jesus, and sometimes we have to sit and struggle and fill in, not make up, but fill in what might have happened so we really understand his life. Not making it more interesting for the sake of making it more interesting. Though if you want something like that, I highly recommend the book, Lamb. Those of you who are laughing have read the book, Lamb. You have to have a sense of irreverence to read the book, Lamb. It is by Christopher Moore, and it will make you laugh out loud, but it will also make you think a lot about what happened to Jesus from the time he was born until the time he walked down to that river. But when we struggle with what was going on in Jesus' life, it is for the purpose of following Christ, the one whom we want to follow, helping make the story three-dimensional by wondering together. All four of the Gospels talk about John, and the beginning of Jesus' ministry begins with John. And Jesus is reported to have said, there is no one born of woman greater than John. So this was his mentor. This was his prophet. And it seems that Jesus' ministry begins when John is arrested. That is when Jesus' public life really begins, according to the scriptures, as if he was stepping in to carry on. Jesus listened to John's preaching not once when he arrived for his baptism, But for a long time, as he listened to having God revealed to him by John. John was a revelator. A revelator is someone who reveals the divine. Jesus' life must have been influenced by lots of people around him, many revelators, people who were good and people who were not so good, that helped him see God's will for his life and for the world. I think about the people coming in and out of Jesus' life from the time he was a child, and how many of them had to have incarnated God's will, God's grace, God's compassion, that Jesus was watching every single person, listening to every word around him, discerning what was happening for him, where he was being called to, and John was one of those people. The gospel, according to Mark, begins with the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But I don't think it was the beginning, was it? There were many, especially John the Baptizer, whose lives and teachings spoke to Jesus, created in him the desire and the destiny to follow God wherever God would lead him. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and we have lit the candle of peace. We wait for Christ to come into our lives and bring peace, that peace that passes all understanding. We gather as community and hope that we will be bringers of peace, and that all around the world, finally and once and for all, hearts and minds will be open and peace will be possible. And for us, Jesus is the Christ, the bringer of peace into the world. And Jesus the Christ calls us to follow. What the story of John today is saying to us is that in order for the world to continue to develop people who will open themselves to God's will, we all need to be revelators. Every day we encounter people and we influence others whether we know it or not. The question is, will our religious lives be one-dimensional or three-dimensional? Will we choose to be revelators of the divine will? Think about it, brothers and sisters. We never know who we are talking to. We never know how our actions are being seen by others. Someone who may become for the world an incarnation of the purest of God's will could be listening to our every word. We are John the Baptizer. We never know who is sitting and listening. As we wait for the light to come into our lives and create us new once again, may we be mindful that all around us are those who are looking for that light. And if we are blessed, we will incarnate God's grace and love, and we will embody for someone, as John did for Jesus, a message from God. So pull on your camel hair coat and grab a baggie full of locusts. We have a lot of revelating to do. Amen.